Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
Ruth chapter 1, and I'm just going to do two verses right now, and then we'll go in. Are you there? Right after the book of Judges. So it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the name of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab to live there. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence that's here, God, for the worship. And God, I just ask that you would have your way, which you've placed in my heart to share with all of us here today, God, who would take root, and that, Father God, it would bring forth fruit, God, because I know your word always goes out, and it does, Father God, what it's supposed to do. So bless this time that we have. We love you. We praise you. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. A little dry. Thank you, Eric. Praise God. Well, once again, I'd like to thank you, Pastor Eric, Sister Jessica, for allowing me to share. And this Sunday. And then also, I'd like to thank somebody. I always wanted to do this, but I never really did it, you know, because we were always busy. I'd like to thank my wife, amen, for being with me for over 28 years. Somebody say amen. And she's been there for me, backing me up. And I'd like to thank her for being there and helping me become the man that God has called me to be. God, I'm really grateful this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now give the Lord a hand clap. 28 years. It's my fifth marriage. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. No, that's true. Not true. Well, a while back, there was an article written. It was actually somewhere around August the 26th or the 27th. There was an article written that I had read in the through one of the newspapers, or not the newspaper, but on the news there on the computer or whatever. I read it on the iPad or whatever. And there was an article written, and it was written about the young people of today. It was written about those that were young, and there was a poll. It was actually an article, yet it was from a poll. And the poll said that the young people today, that they have little or no interest in three things. And this is what they were losing. One of them was religion or with God. They have little or no interest in religion or in God. These are people, young people, that are growing up in our society today. And the second one was they have little interest in having children or being parents or having a family. The families they have no interest in. They have no interest in God, religion, and they don't have any interest in patriotism or the love for their country. And so when I read that and I was thinking, man, we're in deep trouble here in our country. And it sounded like to me that our society and its culture was changing in a way that I felt like I've never seen it to for the worst. How many have ever felt that before? Because these principles are rooted, usually, and they are rooted, family is rooted in the Word of God. It's a principle that is in the Word of God, that God created man and woman, and God gave us kids, and we are to go ahead and fill the earth, amen? And so these are things that are God, and God has created the family unit. And it sounded like to me, man, these things are just really taking, this world is really going down, man. And I got to admit it, and I first read it, I thought, man, things are changing and things are going to get really worse. And this is my first thought was, you know, this is what happens. But then I remembered what Jesus said. And I not only, there's two things that I did. I not only just remembered what Jesus said, I actually have been experiencing it in the lives of the young people that I have ran into. That, first of all, Jesus says, On the confession of Peter that he was Lord, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is something that Jesus said. You know, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So when I read an article, when I look at, when I hear on the radio or on the talk show and all this madness that they're talking about, I can sit back and think about it and say, no, wait a minute. It's not, it might look like it's getting worse, but how many of things have been bad since the beginning of time? Oh, somebody say amen. But I began to think about it. I said, no, God said he's going to build his church and the gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail. That the gates of hell is not going to stop what God wants to do. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor this morning. You know what? The enemy, the world couldn't stop or can't stop what he wanted to do in your life. Many of us should have been dead. Many of us shouldn't even be here this morning. But God said, I'm going to build my church. And the church ain't the building. The church is you and I. There's going to always be a continual need for the gospel to be preached, because there's always a continual need in the lives of people. That no matter where we go, there's always, no matter how times look bad, or no matter what's taking place, no matter if they say the kids don't have interest and the next generation is going to be messed up. We know that God said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, so we can rest it. No matter what dark, twisted things that may be happening in our world today, God is still on the move today. He's going to build his church. That's you and I. Just like the song we sang today, he says, you never stop working. You know that today, in our lives, that could be a good thing, you know, when you're going through it and you're going through some hard times. And you say, God, you know what? I know that no matter what's going on, you'll never stop. You never stop working in my life. And then there's another part of the song that says, even when I can't see you, you're working. Even though I don't see you, and it could be a bad thing on some of us, that even though you don't think he's watching, hello, somebody, he's watching. Come on, men's home. I'm not saying, I've been in the home. It's in the home where God built, established me as a man of God. It's in there where I had to make choices. Even in the church, we have to do the same thing, right? And make those choices. But God's going to build his church. So when we walk out of this place today, know that God is going to build his church no matter what you hear, no matter what society says, no matter how it looks, God is going to build his church. You and I, and there's many more people out there that God wants to bring in. One of my favorite scriptures found in Mark, and I'm going somewhere this morning, so bear with me. Mark chapter 2. I want you to turn there. Speaking of God building his church, do you believe God is still building his church? Do you believe that God is still doing a work in people's lives? Do you believe God is still working in your life? No matter how you got here, no matter who brought you here, it's God that really ultimately is the one who's called you, and it's God who brought you here today. I went to the home because I didn't want to go to prison. Hello, somebody. And I used to make fun of, just like you, I used to make fun of Christians. My sister was a Christian. I'd make fun of them, laugh at them. And I remember one time my sister was, her and her husband were praying for traveling mercy. You ever do that, get in a car, Father, give us traveling mercy? And I started kicking their car. Boom, you know, like, hey, tell them to stop that. Bam. Come on, tell them to stop that. And then I was kicking it. I was mean. Turn to your neighbor and say, he was mean. And so when I did, guess what? I'm going to tell you something, how you know God's working. I don't kick cars no more. Hello, somebody. After that, I never kicked another car because God was working in my life. Even when I didn't understand it, even though I was in the worst of the worst, God was still working in my life. God had still had a call in my life. And the same thing goes with you. Mark chapter 2. Or did I say 2? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Mark chapter 3. It's the calling of the first disciples. Boy, it's quiet in here. Man, I can hear an echo. It says, Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those that he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed the 12, designating them as apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. When you think about it, the same call goes out today. The Bible says that he called those that he wanted. And so what happens to you and I is you and I are the people that God wants. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you. God has a plan for you. And when he called them, if you look even in John, if you look through the Gospels, you'll see that he had some contact with them prior to his call on them. That somehow or another, before that, he had met with them or seen them, or he had a conversation with them. As a matter of fact, a couple of them went and stood with him for the day. And so he kind of knew who they were. And we can think of the same thing about for you and I, that when God calls us to be out of the world into the church, and when he calls us, he knows exactly who he's getting. He knows exactly about you and I, everything about us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. How many know that there are some foolish people? I was a foolish person. But God called me, and God called you. And he knew exactly who he's getting. Even though we don't even think that he's doing a work, just like I didn't know. I didn't think. I thought I was going not to go to prison, and that's all I was thinking about. And what happened was God was able to get a hold of my life. And this is what God is doing in many of our lives. He's doing it in all of our lives, actually. The second thing I've seen is that they responded to him. How many have responded to the voice of God? You're here this morning because somehow or another, you're responding to the voice of God. You're responding to that call that you know that somehow or another, some of us have figured it out and say, you know what, God has called me, and he has something. I don't know, man, I'm curious or whatever. And so what they did is they respond to him. We all have, this whole world has an equal chance to respond to the voice of God. You know, everybody, just as much as I had a chance to respond to the voice of God, to the person who just got saved or not even saved yet, you have the same opportunity to respond to God's voice. It's up to you and I to respond to the voice of God calling our lives, on our lives. The next thing he did is he called them and he said so that he might be with them, that he might minister to them. And that's what happens when you get saved, right? God comes in. He comes into our lives. He begins to minister to us. He begins to put pastors in front of us and teachers and people in front of us there. And then he begins to minister to us. He begins to, through the Spirit of God, begins to minister to those hurts, the healing that we need in our heart, begin to read the Word and understand that God is trying to do something in my life. So he wants to minister to them, to you and I. And the fourth thing I see, that he might send them out into ministry. It's very healthy to do that. You get saved, you give your life to Jesus Christ, you respond to the voice of God, right? You spend time with Jesus, and as you're spending time with Jesus, you begin to go out and you begin to share your life with other people. So if you've been around for years and you're still in the beginning stages, then there's something that needs to take place. See, the enemy sometimes will stop us there at the part where we're spending time with him and he wants to heal us and all that. And what happens is we begin to focus too much on ourselves, amen, and we begin just to stop there and don't go the extra step. God calls us, he wants us to be with him, and he wants to send us out. God calls us, he wants us to spend time with him, and he wants us to minister to the lives of people. Somebody say amen. See, this process hasn't changed. Despite our past, our mistakes, and all the darkness that's around this world, God is still doing that process. He hasn't stopped. That's why you're here today. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped doing what he's been doing for years. I got saved in 1985. Do you think that he stopped in 1985 and saving people? Heck no. He's been moving and moving in people's lives. He's been moving in your lives since 1985. Some of you weren't even born. Somebody say amen. But he had a plan and a purpose for you, and he still has called you. The question is it, will we respond to the voice of God? Pastor's mom said the same thing. There's prayer, and then which your obedience to God's call. See, there's a prayer, there's the call, and then there's the obedience to the call of God on our lives. There's us coming and responding, and then there's the, hey, okay, now get involved, and let's start, not get involved in doing things, but in the relationship with him and being obedient to him and allowing him to mold and shape us to the people that God has called us to be. Are we willing to respond? You see, the story this morning that I read in Ruth, it's a story this morning that was in a bad time in the nation of Israel. When we first turned there and we read it, the Bible says, talks about a family that had moved from Israel. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of Ruth, verse 1, it says, those days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and the man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. So they left their country, and they went somewhere else because of a famine in the land. But they didn't just go, I'm getting tongue-tied. Hello, somebody. It starts off with the days when the judges ruled. Now, I don't know about you if you read your Bible. If you ever read the book, how many have read the book of Judges? In the book of Judges, if you look right down to the next to the chapter of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. Are you there? Right, it's just the next page if you're back in Ruth. It says, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. So when you think of the time in the history that this was happening to Naomi and the whole family thing that was going on here, it was in the time of Judges where everybody was doing what they wanted to do. The Bible says they had no king. They had no leader. They had no authority. You know, how many know that God is our king? But they had no king. And everybody did as they pleased. If you look in the beginning, for the sake of time, I won't go there. You'll remember that at that time, that the Bible says a whole new generation had grown up that did not know God. And then they got in trouble, and then God would come and raise up judges to save them, and they would go okay for a while, but when that judge died, they'd go right back into sin. Hello, somebody. Sound like the times today? Sometimes it sounds like us, right? God would get us out of trouble, and we go back into sin. And he'll raise up somebody else. And the same thing. Well, they were going, and they were in some dark times. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was some dark times. It was in the time of Judges. Everyone was doing as they saw fit. They had no spiritual leaders, no godly influence, and people were doing what they wanted to do. How many know you always got to have godly influence? God is always in the midst of raising up leaders. Fathers, he's always raising up leaders. Fathers, we are leaders. We are the godly influence of our household. Men and women, wherever we're at, God wants to raise us up to be those godly leaders in our workplace, in our families. Your mom, once again, she got a hold of God. God got a hold of her life. She began to pray. And look at today, we're here in this place because God raised up Pastor Eric. Somebody say amen. We don't know what's going to take place. This family here that was moving because of the famine, they didn't know what their story was in the kingdom of God. They didn't know what was for the future of them. All they knew is they moved over here. They wanted to eat, man. That's, you know, it was a famine. Over here in Moab, there was food. So this family goes over there and moves over there. And her sons, the Bible says later, it says they got married to some Moabite women. So now we have a family there. They're in a different country. They don't know their future. They don't know what's really going on in their lives. Circumstances and situations were orchestrated and moved them to certain places. Certain things had taken place. But how many know it was actually happening because God had a plan for their lives? Unfortunate things happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, unfortunate things happen. Just because we're saved doesn't mean everything's going to be peaches and cream. Let me read the story. It says, in the days of Judges, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. It was a father just doing what he had to do. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's was Naomi. The names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. So Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Unfortunate circumstance. Say unfortunate circumstance. He died. And she was left with two sons. They married Moabite women. Well, as a parent, You don't want your kids to wear Moabite women. Somebody say amen. Well, there's no amens. Amen. Well, anyways, they married Moabite women. They were there in the country. Sounds like a setback to me. I don't know about you, but I see that it seems like a bit of a setback. They married this Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other one Ruth. Somebody say Ruth, who the book is after, right? After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So her sons died. Isn't that something? Move away for they move away for, because of a famine. She goes over there. Her husband dies in Moab. Now he's dead. And you're thinking, God has nothing to do with this story. Just like sometimes we think in our lives, God has nothing to do with this story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my family life. You don't know how what things that went down in my life. You don't know this and you don't know that. This is what was taking place here. There were some bad things. There were some dark times, and they were experiencing some bad times. Anybody ever experienced bad times? See, even in bad times, how many know God is still, his plan is still going forward? Or you don't look convinced today. Even in bad times, even when things are not going our way, even when things we don't understand take place, God's plan is still moving forward. So whatever you might be facing today, it's unfortunate sometimes. It hurts. There's scars sometimes. But that doesn't mean that God is not moving. That doesn't mean that God's plan for your life is not going forward. So her husband died and her two sons died. And when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." Something happened there in the relationship with these two Moabite women when they went into that family. That when they, even though their husbands had passed away and they were left, there was three women left all alone. I don't know if there's any women that are single parents here. Hello, somebody, or that are alone. That's a pretty heavy thing to be going through. And she's told them, you know, why don't you just go back and go back to where you come from? And so the Bible says that they wept and they wanted to go with her still. "Return home, my daughters. I am too old and have another I am too old to have another husband, and even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." And at this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah was ready to go. She said, "Okay, all right, man, I'm going to go back to where I came from." But Ruth said, "No, I'm not going back." You see, God had a plan for both of them. Orpah decided to go back. Ruth said, "No, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to stick with you." And I don't think it's so much her. I think it was so much that, see, these were Moabite women. Turn your ear and say, Moabite women. They were worldly women when they got married. They didn't come from, their family life was not a lifestyle like a godly lifestyle. They didn't come from a family. Their families were Moabites. They worshipped other gods. They were into some other stuff. But something happened when they married in that family. She went to in that family, and something happened to Ruth. Something deep happened to Ruth. It happened so much that she was not willing to go back to her own family. Can you imagine that? Say, man, you know what? I love you guys, but you know what, man? I'm not going back there. Something took place in her life, and I believe, and I'm led to believe, it was the call of God. And if it wasn't for that family, somebody say that family, amen, it affected her. That family, in her relationship, she probably came in like a sinner, like just whatever. She was there in the family. But as time went on, she grew to fall in love with Jesus, with God at this time. Isn't that something? The influence that they had, the influence that a family had. I have this for free. You see that when God calls you and I, and he has a purpose for you and I, he brings us into a family. You know what this is right here? This is a family. And I can't stress enough to let you understand that this is a family. This is not a church like an institution where we walk in and then it's just kind of like we walk in, hey, a pastor preaches that we walk out. God has called you and he brings you into a family. We might have our earth. I have a family, right? You came from somewhere. Somebody say amen. You guys look too serious. I have a family. They all live in California. Most of them live in California. A few up here, but in California. And what am I doing up here? Hello, what are you doing up here? God called us to a family. God called us into a family. You know, when I came here to this church, I said, this is the family that God's placed me in. And so I don't have any shame to walk around like I'm a family member no more. See, some of us, come on, somebody say amen. Some of us, we've been around here a while, and we still treat it as like it's not a family. We don't trust them. Oh, I don't know about those people. It's not those people, man. God brings you into a family. This is what happened to Ruth. God brought her into a family. And through that family, she was able to come in, and she was able to get a hold of God. The same thing that God does here with you and I. He calls us. He brings us in the midst of madness. Say madness. No, you guys all came when you guys are all up and good, right? You're here this morning because everything's fine. You know, everything's good. Everything's all right. In the midst of our madness, God loves us so much that he'll bring us in, and he'll bring us into a family. And then in that family, we begin to operate and begin to grow and begin to mature and begin to go out. Just like we talked about earlier, we begin to allow God to work in our life. How many know God will use your family to work in your life, your spiritual family? To work in our lives. And then we begin to go and we begin to minister to the lives of others. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And it might be like our lives might be all like crazy like this, people dying and all that. But God's call is still in the midst of that. Brought her into a family and she wouldn't. Look what she says in verse 15. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her what? Gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied. Somebody say, Ruth replied. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. The end of it all is what? I want the same God that you have. I want to serve the same God. Somebody say amen. Then my commitment is to you, but my commitment is to God. And you know what? I want to follow God's plan. I want to be obedient to what God has been doing in my life and how even though all this madness takes place, but I see that God has been doing something consistent in my life. I want to go ahead and I want to follow up on what God has for my life. It takes a commitment to follow up on what God has started in our lives. And this is what happened to her. And so she went and followed up. And if you read the story, but for the sake of time, I'm going to go read the story. I challenge you, just read this. How many like to read books? Read the story. You'll see that it wasn't an easy road. How many know serving God is no easy road? From death. Then she goes out and she goes back with Naomi and they go back over to Judah and then she becomes like a gleaner, right? A gleaner, whatever you call it, a gleaner. Where she would go to work and labor in the fields. So I would be like, it's almost like when I was in the home and I'd be like,
Like, you said God has a plan in my life. Now I'm over here, picking weeds. Hello, somebody. What does this have to do with me, serving God? Whatever the plan God has. But she began to do that. But it was in that place she met another contact. Somebody say amen. And then she got married. Somebody say amen. And so in her life, through all the madness they were going through, this family, even Naomi said, man, I'm a bitter person. She got bitter in the midst. Some of us get bitter. But even her, as time went on, she began to see God's call and God's provision for her. And we all know who Ruth is, don't we? It's through Ruth that we have, it was David's grandfather's, that's his great-great-grandmother, Ruth. And who's from the line of David? Jesus. So through all that, a Moabite woman, not knowing what was taking place in her life, going through that day, getting married, going into his family. I could just say like me going in the home, going into the home, walking, going to the van. Hello, somebody. Just walk, going back. You know what I mean? Doing this, raking. Why am I raking this thing? There's nothing here to rake. All this stuff, not knowing, what my future held. Not knowing what was going for. And then just doing that and going through whatever. And that's easy compared to some of the stuff that some of you had to go through in life. But that doesn't mean when God calls you, he calls you for a purpose. That doesn't mean that he's not there. Someone once said that, that bad things happen to us, but all things work together for the good. That the bad things that have happened, they've happened. But God is able to make those bad things and turn them around for the good. I'm able to talk to a dope fiend like nothing. You didn't know I used to rob and steal, right? You don't know that. But I could come over here and I could talk to someone who's still robbing and stealing, chucking and jiving. Somebody say amen. And I could talk to them and I could relate to them, but God has changed me from that. And the same thing in your lives, that God will use whatever it is, he'll turn it around and use it for his good. Are you willing today to follow up on your commitment to Jesus Christ? Are you willing today to say, look, you know what? I see all this going. I can go back over here, but I ain't going back over there. I want to follow what Jesus has for my life. Are you willing today? Even though we don't think God is doing something, God is working in our lives, molding and shaping and building us. It might look dark, but in the midst of that, God is still calling men and women for these last days. Stand with me here today.